Will you please go to the back where Miss Erin is waiting for you? I see her. I see her walking to the back right now. We're dismissing the kiddos. And they will rejoin us during Eucharist, for Eucharist. So y'all are going to have an amazing time. There's also a nursery, but or he can stay. Whichever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. Okay, whatever. He's welcome to be in here, too. Whatever. And then you do that, girl. I don't know who's back there today, but they're amazing. Okay. Next. I'm going to start passing this around. It does not have a pen on it. Can you go grab a pen? That is our sign-up sheet for liturgy. We say liturgy is the work of the people. And as you may have already noticed, there's a lot of people who make things happen around here. Today in particular was, for those of you who have very kindly said you haven't noticed, it was a little chaotic this morning, because it takes a lot of people to make things happen on our smooth Sundays and on our less smooth Sundays. So that is a sign-up sheet, whether it's your first Sunday or you've been coming here for ages. Read prayers, make the coffee, help with setup, helping the kids. We need people helping with everything around here. So feel free, when Olivia gets back with a pen, she'll start passing it around. It'll go all the way back there to Josh, who will pass it back this way, and then it'll come all the way back up here to Matt. So let's make sure it keeps moving all through the sermon, which we will get started with now. All right, so this is how I want to get us started today. We do, as Tim mentioned during the announcements, dialogical preaching. So this will be conversational. We'll be chatting the whole time. And I thought to get us started, since we just came back from the holidays, maybe we're a little rusty today, we would get started with some highs and lows. Everybody loves that, or they hate it. Too bad if you hate it. I don't really always love it either, but I'm doing it. Okay, so holiday highs and lows. Holiday highs and lows. While you're thinking, I'll give mine. Mine are quick. My holiday highs, my girls were home. They're both in college. They were here. My lows are they've already left. They left on the 2nd. Lydia went back to Illinois. Their classes started on the 3rd. They're on a term system, so they started on the 3rd, and Jessica is on her swim team up at Southwestern in Georgetown, and they're in Fort Lauderdale training. So, yeah, I know it's too bad for her, but so they're already gone. So that's my low. Anybody else? Holiday highs and lows. It's snowing now. Yeah. Yeah. All right, so high visiting family, low, you didn't get any snow. Yeah. Who else? Yes. Oh, gosh, what? Oliver Spunk. I thought you said she has Oliver's stomach back. Okay. So highs are family, and low, your puppy got sick, but she's better. Yeah, it's okay. Who else? Holiday highs and lows. Yes, Corey. Well, so highs, again, visiting family, but the low, having to drive a great distance twice. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? We got maybe one more? Yes, Tyler. You can't say the puppy again. Okay. 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 I want to ask more questions, but we do have to move on. So, so Tyler's high was bringing home a wandering jazz musician, and we'll just leave that mysterious until later. Wow. 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 Okay. and with that, we'll move on. I want to know so much more. Okay. Thanks for sharing that, though. All right. So this morning, we're going to do something that they tell you, like in public speaking classes and like some workshops and things that I've taken about preaching that you're not supposed to do. And we're going to kind of be all over the place. And I do feel like these things do connect to each other and tie together. But I also feel like it's a little, in my mind, kind of loose. And again, that's one of those things that a public speaking teacher or, you know, a sermon class would tell you, don't tell people that. But I'm telling you that because I believe in being honest and transparency. But I don't know. Maybe you guys will disagree when we're done here. So this morning, we're going to read from the lectionary text. We follow the lectionary here, which is just a series of readings that churches all over the world follow, you know, through the church calendar. And this is the lectionary reading for today, which is the first Sunday of Epiphany. And this is from the Old Testament, Genesis 1, 1 through 5. I think we're all pretty familiar with this. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So like I said, we moved into the season of Epiphany this week. In fact, yesterday was Epiphany Day, which is the day that the wise men visited Jesus. They traveled to find the baby Jesus and worship him. And Epiphany is a season of revelation. It's a season of revelation of who Jesus is. It's a season of revelation of Jesus as King, of Jesus as the Son of God. It's a season of light, the beginning of creation, of brightness, the star that led the wise men to Jesus in the first place. And so this text we read today, again, is about light and new creation. And it's also a story about the chaos that came before the creation. So verse 2 said, "The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters." Another way that this is translated says this, "When God began to create the heavens and the earth was wild and waste. Utter darkness covered the deep, and the Spirit of God was brooding over the face of the waters." So it's out of this wild and dark and watery abyss that God creates the world, our world that we're in today. And this story reminds us that God creates order out of chaos, that God is always bringing creation and new life out of things that seem to us disorderly and chaotic. And when God does that, it is good. God is always bringing goodness out of chaos. And so for these first couple of Sundays that we're going to be here in the chapel, so this Sunday and in 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about our rhythm as a church and how we do things here. Specifically, we're going to be talking about our house church rhythm. And I do appreciate how this story of Epiphany and the wise men and the text that we read this morning invites us into this season of light, into this season of new creation and paying attention specifically like the wise men did to seeking Jesus and to paying attention to Jesus as our King. So throughout the fall, we had been making announcements that we would be making some adjustments to our house churches and to the way that we were doing house churches after the new year. And I find it kind of significant that here we are in a season of Epiphany. We weren't planning this, in the fall. But here we are in this season of Epiphany, beginning to explore what those changes are going to look like. And having the opportunity to do that in this season of light, kind of bringing order out of chaos, paying attention to Jesus as our King, the one who will direct us as we do those things, bringing new life, always creating and bringing order. So change can be difficult, and change can feel very chaotic. And even though we here at Mustard Seed haven't been doing house churches for a long, long time, it's not necessarily easy to invite change. I think that we all just like to keep things the same all the time. We don't want to change things. And so what we read about this morning is that God brings order out of change, that God is always working in that chaos, in that difficulty. So let's talk about that. The first, the second now question that I have for us today is this, specifically about our experience as a community with house church, is this. If you've participated in a house church, and for those of you over here, you can answer this question too. What is something positive that has happened in your house church? Just tell me about a positive experience that you've had in your house church. Let's just share some of those. Yes, Tyler. So you say that it was a space that you could share something you were struggling with, and they were able to meet you in that. A vulnerable place. Yeah. Thanks. Anybody else? What's something positive? Yeah, Olivia. So it's a place to get to know each other more intimately than we can in here. Yeah. Yeah, Josh. Oh, Mal, and then Josh. No, go ahead. Ah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, like family. Yeah, I mean, I still talk to you. So we were all in a house church together when my girls were the ages of their kids now. So, yeah. Go, Josh. Yeah. Yeah. So spoiler alert, we are going to talk about that. Perfect. Yeah, you guys have said so many of the things already. Yeah, anything else anybody wants to throw out? Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, go. Adam. Uh-huh. No, not today. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so having tangible needs met and just being welcomed into the messiness of someone's home. Yeah, okay, you had your hand up? Okay. So it's a good rhythm. You're saying this rhythm, the way we do it, is good to see, to see the bigger group and then to be in the smaller group. Yeah. Sure, sure. Yeah, yeah. And then Daniel? Yeah, so even though we do have a dialogue in here, when we meet in our homes, we're in a smaller group. And so people who otherwise wouldn't necessarily speak up in here will have a chance to talk more, or maybe are more likely to talk in the context of somebody's living room. Yeah, yeah, those are... Okay, one more. Oh. Oh. Oh, I love to hear that. Yeah. Okay, I did say one more. Go ahead. So it's a more accessible space for kids. And then also what I'm hearing you say is that it's a space for adults and kids to interact in a natural way, which can then facilitate discipleship as well. All right, I am going to pause. This is amazing, though. I did not expect this much. I'm thrilled. It's not a bad thing. All right, so we're going to move on, and then we'll have a little bit more time for discussion at the end. So for context, and just as a reminder for those of you who might have just come into us doing house churches, we changed our rhythm from having liturgy in here every Sunday to doing this every other week that we do now, right after Easter in 2022. I think to some of us, me, it feels like we've been doing it forever now, the way we did that, we had a family meeting to discuss that we were going to make these changes. And at the time, we said it was kind of a tentative thing and that it might just be temporary. We weren't really sure what was going to happen and whether it would be permanent. And some of the reasons, actually the main reasons for doing that, were practical at the time. Coming back to our regular liturgy in here after COVID was just becoming difficult for us to sustain. We did not have volunteers for all of our liturgy roles, including having people to play music, people to make coffee, people to volunteer for our kids. About a third of our attendance on Sundays is kids, and so that alone was really challenging for us to have every single Sunday. So we thought, let's try this every other week and see if it works. It also felt like a natural transition from backyard liturgies. I don't know how many of you remember doing backyard liturgy during the pandemic, when we would gather in people's backyards and we would watch together the YouTube liturgy. So then at least we, you know, there were like small groups of us together watching YouTube. We weren't just like in our living room by ourselves watching YouTube. So it just felt kind of like a natural transition from backyard liturgy to doing it in living rooms. And like so many of you have already said, it allowed us a chance to be to be together, to have that community that we had missed so much during the pandemic. So to have these meaningful relationships, to build new friendships, to build new relationships that we had missed. So about a year and a half into it, we began to notice that because we had put it together somewhat hastily, out of necessity, that we needed to actually, address, some structure and put, maybe some definition onto some things, and just make sure that everybody felt like they knew what their roles were and the best ways to go about having a house church, being a host, being a leader, what to do with the kids, those sorts of things today. So that's why we're talking about it today. That's why we're going to be talking about it in a couple of weeks as well. So why are we going to continue doing house church? And we've been doing it for a year and a half. Why don't we just go back to meeting in here every Sunday? Well, a lot of the practical reasons that I named are still true. For us, we are a small congregation, and so of mostly young families. And so a lot of those practical reasons have not gone away. Also, partly because we rely on all of us to make our liturgy happen. It can be very challenging for us from Sunday to Sunday. But besides that, because we don't want to do things just because, it's the most practical, wait, reason to do things. So many of the things that y'all have said are things that I'm about to repeat. So thank you. Thank you for doing that for me today. Actually, it's really good. It's very validating to know that that I'm not just standing up here telling you things, but that these are things that are resonating in our community. That just means that the Holy Spirit is working in this, and it's not something that we are making happen. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, so Here are the reasons we're still doing it, and I have some cool slides for these. One of the characteristics of our house church is a shared meal. People eating. There we go. Daniel and Rachel's cute kids eating waffles. But we have a shared meal, not just because people need to eat when they are together, but that is a good reason to have it, but because Jesus' ministry was centered around tables. Jesus ate with his disciples. He ate in the homes of his friends. He ate with people who were outsiders. He told parables and stories about feasts and banquets. Jesus's ministry was centered around meals. It was centered around tables. In a little while, we'll remember and celebrate Jesus's Last Supper. So when we share a meal in the context of being gathered together around Christ, we are transformed in some way. There's something sacramental happening there. That it doesn't always feel that way. Like you guys had mentioned, with kids running around and being kind of chaotic, it might not feel like it is something sacramental, but it is. I can't prove it. There's nothing empirical. Like there's no experiment we can do here to say, yep, Jesus was there. But it is, there's just something sacred about that time together. A lot of you are familiar with Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. And when we are gathered together for the purpose of being centered around Jesus, sharing a meal together, Christ is there. And conversations around the table, or whether you're holding a paper plate in your lap in somebody's living room, because that's the way a lot of us have to do it because of space, we grow closer to each other. We know each other's needs. We know how to pray for each other. We know how to care for each other. We know each other's dreams and passions. It's where spiritual growth takes place. The conversations that we have about the scripture, the text, the readings, the prayers that we do together, that also matters. But that meal matters just as much. It is just as important. It's also where our kids, as y'all mentioned, get to participate a lot and watch those kinds of conversations taking place, which is also part of the reason why we're going to help give some structure and instructions about how to help the kids realize this isn't just a kind of free-for-all, you know, bouncy house type of a thing going on, but just how to help add some structure to that time for the kids as well. So another reason that we are going to continue leaning into this house church rhythm is because this is where we bring our gifts. Like I said, every Sunday we say that liturgy is the work of the people, and we practice that here on Sundays. We also practice that in our house churches. So literally, we bring something to share at the meal. You know, we do the potluck style. So we bring actual food to contribute to the meal. We are also invited to participate at a deeper level, which so many of you have already mentioned, than we can when we're here in the chapel. So whether you are reading the prayers, because maybe you don't want to sign up to stand up here at the mic and read, but you'll read when that sheet is passed, you know, when everybody's just holding the sheets, and you'll read that. Maybe you are helping serve Eucharist. Maybe you are helping clean up, you know, after the meal. Maybe you're helping with somebody's kid. Maybe you are just contributing something to the discussion that you don't want to speak up and hear and contribute to the discussion. But we are all bringing our gifts. Maybe somebody shares something, you know, during the prayers and you talk to them afterwards or check in with them later in the week to see how it's going, or you offer to pray for them even right there. In house church, we are bringing our gifts. And again, to connect it back to Epiphany, the wise men, they brought their gifts to Jesus. And so this is an opportunity for us to be bringing our gifts to Jesus and to each other. And so finally, more and more, we are seeing that unconventional forms of church are needed for us to connect with people. There are a number of reasons for this, ranging from the abuse that has happened in larger church denominations, institutions, and that has just led to mistrust, and that rightly so, but also cultural shifts where people don't set aside their Sunday morning to come to a building like this and worship. And so these unconventional forms of church and faith, you know, communities are what is needed. And we see again and again in the scripture that Jesus goes to where people are. Jesus does not insist, you have to do it my way. I'm going to be in the temple Saturday at 7 p.m. and you'd better show up or else. Jesus goes to where people are. And so a home, you know, that's what we're doing right now, is a comfortable and safe place for people who want to explore their faith, but they might not want to be here on a Sunday morning for any number of reasons or any other church building around town. It creates a family. It's an opportunity to create a family for people who are lonely, who are away from home, or who don't have a healthy family that they can rely on. So this unconventional style that we have adopted creates, hopefully, a healthy family and structure for people who might not have that, where they can explore what following Jesus is about. So those three reasons, having a shared meal, bringing our gifts, as an extension of liturgy, and creating family are three reasons that I've thought up that you guys have said, and it's not an exhaustive list. I think there's a lot of other reasons, and then the practical reasons that we've named today too. So as I get ready to close, I mean, I've already shared a little bit of this here and there, but I grew up in church. My dad's a pastor. My mom says I was at church the first Sunday after I was home from the hospital. So I've just never not gone to church. And I have an appreciation of all expressions of church, from the most older, conventional kind of legacy forms of church to these more innovative models that we see pop up here and there. And I have participated in all forms of church, from, you know, kind of high church liturgy style churches to very low church, you know, models of church to house church with these folks here for many years. So, and I didn't plan that when I invited Andy to play today, but it just is a coincidence that he's here. But since that time, and I continue to say that, my time in doing house church, I've continued to say this, was probably one of the most spiritually transformative times in my life. And the relationships that I formed were probably still today some of the most meaningful and closest that I have ever had. I do think some of that is because of the life stage that I was in. I had little kids, and I was connecting with some other families and some older people, but also some people who didn't have kids yet and weren't even married. I mean, it was just, I was just at a place where I was very receptive and open to that. But I do also believe that that model had a lot to do with that, because I was with a small group of people eating together. They were all up in my business. Because you can't not be when your kid is going to the bathroom right there in somebody's living room yelling for you to wipe her butt. Okay? Like, you can't not have people in your business. Like, you can't hide who you are when people are watching you parent and just hearing about your life. So, you know, we were eating together, sharing our struggles, sharing our Thanksgiving, and just and learning how to follow Jesus in a very real, raw kind of a space. So in 2 weeks, we're gonna talk about this again. We've mentioned this several times now. We're going to talk about the specifics of what a healthy house church looks like, how it functions. And we'll be continuing. You guys know this at Mustard Seed. We'll be continuing to work on that, to tweak it. We're not trying to, like, achieve perfect house church, you know. But we do want to keep practicing it, getting y'all's feedback, and keep practicing it. One of the things that I really do value about this community is that we are open to trying things, to experimenting. That has benefited us so greatly, especially over the last 3 or 4 years. We have experimented with so much, and I'm kind of tired of experimenting. But we are going to be, you know, tweaking this a little bit here, seeing, you know, hearing from all of you what has worked, what has not worked, what do we need to adjust in our house churches. And even though it feels chaotic that we're going to need to make some changes, coming back to our text, God is in that chaos. God is hovering over that. And God will be bringing new creation and new life out of that. I really do believe that. So before we move on, and Rachel comes up to lead us in prayer to the people, is there anything that has come to mind, anything y'all want to say or ask before we move on? Y'all had so much to say earlier. You've said it all. Like, oh, it's a chicken. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I like. So Tim says house churches are like an incubator. Yeah. Anything else? Yes. Oh, thanks for sharing that. Yeah. All right, Rachel. Thanks, guys.
We now invite you into a time of prayer. This is an opportunity for us to support one another and participate by sharing our prayer requests. We have limited time, and many may need to share. So please keep your prayer request to a sentence or two so that others will have a chance to share as well. We welcome the guests among us as we join together to pay attention to the needs of others. This way we can pray for one another today and throughout the week.